You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Assembly line manufacturing of brand new houses never took off quite the way that it did for cars in the 20th century, although architects and inventors have been experimenting with prefabricated home design for more than 150 years. In a new exhibit called Home Delivery, Fabricating the Modern Dwelling, the Museum of Modern Art examines both the historic and contemporary significance of factory-produced architecture. On display are more than 80 experimental and realized projects, as well as five full-scale model houses in a lot just west of the museum. Barry Bergdahl, MoMA's chief curator of architecture and design, is here, and so is Lawrence Sass, an MIT designer of one of the full-scale installations called House for New Orleans. I'm very pleased to welcome them both to the show. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Did the adoption of the assembly line manufacturing approach in the early 20th century give rise to the idea of making prefabricated houses?
I would say it sort of gave it a new lease on life. It's a goes back, we know, of prefabricated buildings that the Romans were shipping around the Mediterranean, sending temples to areas that had poorer qualities of marble. And we know that...
You mean they would send columns in pieces and say,
they
just
would cut a
put
column,
it together?
Yeah, they would cut a column in a rich marble area and then ship it to an area that had lesser materials or lesser craftsmen. So we know that the idea of cutting materials ahead of time, if you call that prefabrication, goes back thousands of years.
And any materials can be used then, because marble is pretty heavy. And normally we think of prefabricated things as using lighter materials. I mean, I've always thought of them as being the housing equivalent of an IKEA table.
Well, it's true that wood is the preferred material for all sorts of reasons, because of its lightness, because of its ready availability, and because it was really the milling of wood that accompanied the rise of the Industrial Revolution and then the rise of the assembly line. But metal materials, later plastic, all sorts of materials, anything that can be made off-site and sent to another site, and anything that's readily transportable.
How are some designs like David Green's living pod different from a trailer or a mobile home?
Well, it only by design ingenuity, I would say, and also by the fact that the living pod that you're talking about was actually not a proposal for something that might go into fabrication, but a kind of provocation about how we might live in a future environment. The living pod is almost like a space capsule that had a rather apocalyptic vision of what life was going to be like in the 1960s when David Green proposed that. But it's a spectrum from today's so-called manufactured housing to the prefabricated housing that's engaging architects again with a great intensity of research.
Well, Lawrence, are you an architect? I described you as an MIT designer.
Yeah, well, I'm actually a professor by trade. Oh, that's my real
day. Congratulations.
Sometimes, I don't know if that's always a good thing, but it is most of the time. But I've worked for many years in architectural firms, and I actually left the last firm mostly because I was just disgusted by the way that computers are used in the industry. And I always feel like there's always been a better way to use them and a better way to make them productive, use them towards the manufacturing of buildings.
Well, what got you thinking about this House for New Orleans that's on display at the vacant lot next to the museum?
Right. Well, there are two things. One is that I had developed a technology about 2 years ago to make snap fit parts for buildings, sort of pressed out of wood. And the second one was from
so you just snap them together?
You snap them all together, sort of like a huge Lego kit, which one, reduces a lot of labor, and two, reduces the amount of time that it takes for anyone to put a house together. And then and mostly all of it was made by computers and computer control machines. And then the other one was a number of people after I had finished that said to me, oh, you got to do this in New Orleans. You got to do this in New Orleans. This is a place that needs this. So I had started working on a project for New Orleans before the museum called me.
Has the city of New Orleans expressed interest in your project?
Yeah, very much so. A group called Preservation Resource Center has expressed an interest in the technology. It's not the house that I have produced this, the technology to make the house. So I can make any style of house. I can make a gingerbread house for San Francisco or a shotgun house for New Orleans.
Well, I'm surprised that this sort of thing hasn't happened more in situations where a city has been destroyed by fire, or in the case of New Orleans, flood. Why do you think that it hasn't, or has it?
Right. It hasn't. No, it hasn't. And I could see why it hasn't. Number one, you need the computer technology to make all of the components. Every building is different. Even people who try to make buildings with the same parts or make buildings out of a number of similar parts, they can't do it. They always have to make different parts. So if you make different parts, the cost is very high. The other reason why it hasn't been able to happen, I think, is because schools of architecture don't invest in research.
Why has this sort of thing, Barry, been a success in places like Sweden and Norway, Japan?
It's interesting. When we set out to do the research for this exhibition, we assumed that the show would be dominated by Japan and by Scandinavia, because those are the two parts of the world where prefabrication is actually the norm. And so we went
back to IKEA.
Well, yes, IKEA actually does make houses. It doesn't just make tables. It makes houses in exactly the same logic. And one could imagine a digital fabricator making furniture and selling a Larry Sass house quite easily, especially because his house can be put together with very little training, with rubber mallets. And
it could look like anything, as Larry points out.
Yes, and I think that sort of unlike IKEA, that one key Brad would not be missing from the assembly package. There's a culture of prefabrication in Scandinavia and in Japan that's really permeated. Something like every sixth house in Japan is a prefabricated house coming off of an assembly line. Some of them run even by car companies. Toyota makes both cars and houses.
And why do you think it hasn't caught on in this country? You have a house at Thomas Alva Edison designed a prefab. Frank Lloyd Wright experimented with prefabrication for new housing paradigms. And yet, in this country, it never really taken off.
On one level, it has, because we could say that manufactured housing is a kind of secret, hidden percentage of the housing market that is, in fact, prefabricated. It doesn't appeal to anyone's upwardly mobile aspirations, and most people wouldn't acknowledge it as anything that had anything to do with architecture. But I think there are a whole set of prejudices that run from taste culture to the structure of mortgages and banking that are dead set against prefabrication, our notion of individuality. Everyone has an individual house.
Well, there's also a sense that these are cheap. In fact, preparing for this, I thought of the word jerry-built. It's not the same, but jerry-built means cheap, tacky, workmanship, and there were a lot of jerry-built houses built in England after World War II because of the destruction of the Blitz, and I thought, is there some kind of a link, at least in people's sensibility, about prefab and jerry-built?
Well, one of the reasons for doing this show today...
You had one in the Museum of Modern Art, actually exhibited a prefabricated house in its garden in 1949, so this is...
That was actually not a prefabricated house. That was a stick-built house that was built in retaliation for a all-metal prefab house that was on display a block away from the museum that upset my predecessors enormously.
Oh, so it was an anti-prefab.
It was an anti-prefab house.
So the MoMA in the past was a little snobbish about prefab, and now it's changed. It's become more democratic in its embrace.
Well, I think that the big thing that's happened is the buzzword of the day is mass customization, and this has to do with the idea that the computer can allow us to produce dissimilar objects with the logic of factory assembly so that we don't have cookie-cutter houses, and moreover, that the computer can study tolerances in materials and assembly, and one thinks of the assembly line as what makes a car such a finely made product, and it's a product of high quality and precision. And so it's ironic that factory-made housing should be associated with jerry-built or ticky-tacky, whereas, in fact, what a number of young architects are showing is that both through customization, which means individualization of the object, but also through the high precision of computer work, you can get a architectural design that's every bit as precise as the latest model of a very fancy car.
By the way, we have a slideshow of images from the exhibit on our show page at wnyc.org, which includes Larry Sass's work. And Larry Sass is here along with Barry Bergdahl. We're talking about home delivery, fabricating the modern dwelling, now on exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art and at a lot nearby, because there's no way to put some of these buildings into the museum, even though the museum has been expanded so much. When you were working in architecture before you moved on to MIT, did you find that most of your peers were interested in doing this sort of thing?
Oh, no. First, I worked for very large architectural firms that built law schools and corporate office towers. And I found that it's very hard to talk about this kind of stuff with buildings that big, because the architect is really removed from the delivery process. They really spend a lot of time making drawings and explaining their intent. But what makes this so great now is that you get, especially houses, the architect can really engage themselves in the delivery process.
But we're talking about individual houses, one-family houses. Weren't prefabricated houses popular in a number of communist countries? The sorts of things that those drab apartment blocks that I saw in East Berlin, where everyone looks exactly the same, all the windows are exactly the same. There are slabs that get put into place. The doors are exactly the same.
Yeah, but that's
block on block.
But that's the particular with architecture and just housing in general. People always want their own thing. And
so people used to put plants in the window.
Right. But we're trying to get away from that now. And I think that people have
find so remarkable is that so many people have this assumption that it's prefabrication that leads to standardization. But if you drive along the highway, take the Long Island Expressway any day and go past a new subdivision that is in theory being stick-built, customized mansions, and they all look pretty much the same, even though they're very upscale, not factory-produced. So somehow this notion that only the factory would produce standardization, when in fact the marketplace of taste is inherently conservative.
People want the same kind of mansion that their neighbor has.
Exactly.
So, and now we can do all sorts of different things, as you say, with these prefabs. And looking through the various projects in the exhibit, we go from very traditional to extremely modern. But are they as sturdy as a building that is built from the ground up?
Yeah.
Larry, you're nodding your head yes.
Oh, yeah.
I would think that something where you clicked all the Lego pieces into place wouldn't be the same as something where everything was nailed into place.
Oh, yeah. Well, with these, they're actually stronger.
They're stronger?
Oh, much stronger. It's like dovetail furniture versus furniture that's put together with nails. We all know that parts that interlock and screw together, where the entire screwing mechanism is a part, like your cell phone, makes them much stronger. Your cell phone doesn't have screws in it.
No.
And your cell phone wasn't put together by somebody from Home Depot.
No, but every time I drop it, it falls apart, and I have to push it back together again.
But you can push it back together.
Sure.
You don't have to take it to a repair store.
So what's been the response to this, Barry? Have architects been coming in and saying, gee, maybe we need to do more of this?
There's been an enormous response across the board. I think there's a huge popular response, because anything that has to do with houses, people are interested. But I think architects respond to another aspect of the show, which is that it's a show about how architects think when they're thinking about how they make something, when what they're making is going to be made through a multiplication process, a duplication process.
And some of these items, designs are pure fantasy. We just see drawings, and nobody's ever attempted to actually build them.
No, many of them are really pushing the envelope, trying to experiment with how far you can take certain materials, how far you can take a computer program to produce variety. So it is a show that is as much about very traditional buildings as it is about very experimental buildings.
For an architect, can an architect take credit for something that wasn't where he or she designed the various parts but didn't necessarily design the way the building was ultimately going to come out? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, not really.
Because you make it sound like I could take these individual parts and put them together this way or that way.
Yeah, well, that's sort of...
I can make my own customized house.
But that's where this is sort of going. If you look at YouTube and you look at Facebook, people make their own web page in both cases, or web page or videos, and they post them.
So is this a place where now not just architects are involved in designing buildings, but engineers as well, people who are not architects?
Yeah. Well, you'll always have architects that do special houses, customized, very expensive, off the, you know, things that are just aren't on the shelf. But a large part of the United States is built by traditional carpenters with no architectural training. And the homeowner has a lot to do with how the building looks, and the people in the town have a lot to do with the way the building looks. I think that at some point you have to say, well, we have to give people tools to do those things.
The exhibit runs through October 20th, and the outdoor space west of the museum's exhibit runs through October 26th. You can see slideshow images from the exhibit on our show page at WNYC.org, including Larry Sass's building House for New Orleans, which is really the most clever Lego set I've ever seen. And I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us, Barry Bigdahl and Lawrence Sass. It's been a real pleasure talking to you about this exhibit, Home Delivery, Fabricating the Modern Dwelling at the Museum of Modern Art.
Thank you.